Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner... it's just me right now. Aneke is off preparing for the episode, so right now I am both naked and afraid. Well, not naked, but definitely afraid. But from what I hear, Aneke's got an amazing corner for you kids. Just in time for the holiday season. Can we say holidays? Yes, we're saying holidays. For the Kwanzaa and Christmas holiday season, she's got a book listicle, but this one is specifically for how to teach your kids about all the different privileges they are. And that is a tough subject to broach. And I am going to take you on a magic school bus journey through the gay zoo. We're going to see what the gay animals are, what they're doing, and how they're doing the gay sex. So strap on in, that's what she said, for this action-packed episode. And plus, we're going to talk about our new black princess, and I definitely do not mean Ashanti. Plus, let's talk about Prep Baby, let's talk about you and me, let's talk about all the good things and the good things it can bring. Let's talk about Prep. Let's talk about Prep. Okay, this is too much. Let's go meet Aneke in the corner and get this show on the road. Help me, Aneke. I need help. This is hard. Where my baby girl?
Hey, James.
There she is. Oh, girl, I am upset.
Why? What happened? Ooh.
You know what? Here's the thing. Let me backtrack.
Okay,
let me retract it, as we say in the media business.
Ooh, set the scene for me.
Okay, I would be upset if you were not a married woman. Do you want to know why?
Why? I am a married woman.
Well, I know I'd be, but you are a married woman, therefore I'm not upset, but I would be upset if you were not a married woman. You follow?
I'm not following. I'm so confused.
Okay. Because you're married, I'm not upset. But if you were not upset, if you were not married, I would then be upset.
So, but why?
Good question. That's a good follow-up question. Look at you, Oprah. Good follow-up question. Because you should have been the new black princess.
Oh, well, you know what?
Because you're my black royalty.
You know what? Thank you. I appreciate that. But I do not have the media savvy, nor do I have the poise that Meghan Markle has.
Yes.
I would be trashing it all up.
They don't call you Trashella for nothing.
It's true.
At midnight, she turns into trash.
With my little raccoon helpers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I can't. I'm not cut out for that job.
So the princess is finally here.
Yes, she
move
is.
Move over, Sierra, and your crickets. Remember on that
Why
song?
Why do like, you the princess hate Sierra so much?
It's not that I hate her. Okay. I just feel that if Ashanti, not Ashanti, screw her.
Venom for Ashanti.
Oh, I got like, I've got, what's beyond venom? Like an arsenal of
lethal
weaponry.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Lethal weapons. I just feel that I want to circle back to Meghan Markle.
Yeah, we'll
new
get
black
back to
princess.
Her.
Because we're rolling out the red carpet for her. We're going to get her on the show. She is one person I will not be feuding with.
Okay. All right. First of all, one, put a pin in that. Two, why Ashanti and Sierra? They did nothing to you. They're cute ladies.
I know. You know what it is? I'm just so bitter, and I know the fact. If Aaliyah was still alive, there would have never been an Ashanti. And there would not have been a Sierra either.
Why can't they exist with an Aaliyah?
They just can't. It just is an alternate universe.
So
they
really
just can't. I don't make the rules in
all of this stuff.
I'm not the time bandit.
For you being a part of the Aaliyah army, hella strong.
Yes. Still hella bitter. Where is my princess? My princess army. I have not had a princess. My princess died back in 98. And now I finally have a new princess in Meghan Markle.
I cannot even handle this.
I can tell.
Oh my God. Okay, you know what? We're just going to leave that one alone because that's something that we're going to have to dissect across many episodes.
But can we all hail Meghan Markle?
Yay! Okay.
Oh. Ooh, okay. Whoa. Tables are turning.
No. I am very happy for Meghan Markle. I'm happy that, as somebody wrote on Twitter, I won't lay claim to it, but Prince, what's his face?
Harry.
Harry. Yeah. Now has a mother-in-law that's black with dreadlocks. That's fucking awesome.
I know. Yeah. I am here for that.
Okay, so did you watch their interview?
I didn't. I watched that when she was like 13 years old, she put on blast the media and wrote a letter to Procter & Gamble about how, well, you didn't hear about this.
No.
So when she was, and this is what got her the gig on Nick News with Linda Ellerbee, who I'm not here for her either.
What?
But we'll get to that later.
Okay. A lot of feuds. A lot of feuds. This one, this episode is called Feud on You by James.
Yeah, move over, Ryan Murphy. We are the new season of Feud.
Except for Meghan Markle.
Yeah, I'm here for her. I love her. You're my princess for life. Oh, like they put a bunch of ads in front of her and some kids, and she was like, hold up. Why are they only advertising that women are washing dishes? That's not okay. And then she wrote a letter to Procter & Gamble, and then Procter & Gamble changed their ads based on Meghan Markle's ad. So they, instead of saying, we know that women are having a tough job with doing dishes, they changed it to, we know people are having a tough day with dishes. And still kept the same images of nothing but women cleaning dishes, which still to this day, if you look at like media images, like how many times do you watch a laundry ad and there's it's like always, a man watching laundry? So that's something that's interesting that still needs to change.
They're changing that though too. I've noticed that a lot of times that they've actually changed it to be more men doing laundry. Yeah.
Really?
Wow, I had no idea that she was in...
She helped spark that movement.
Rocking her curls when she was young and cute in 1993.
It booked her a gig on Nick News. So, and I now wish I had written more letters when I was a kid.
So, I wrote a letter once.
Oh, to who?
When I was around her age. I wrote a letter to the Quaker Oats Company.
Stop it.
And I asked them, is this a traditional Quaker that you've put on your oats box? And they responded. They sent me back a letter with all information and everything. I was very excited.
Well, I don't know why. This is why I'm not here for Linda Ellerbee, because she's doing shit like this. Why didn't you
get
picked up?
Where's my princess? Yes. I know. I'm not on Nick News?
Once again, Meghan Markle is just beaten to the punch.
Me and her just living parallel lives.
You really are. Very parallel lives. Oh, God, who knew? Okay, but so, what are you not too excited about?
So I watched her interview. You know, her and Harry's interview about, we're engaged or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
She's very friendly, very nice, but she just seems so rehearsed, I guess. Which is what you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be that, which is what I get, I guess, and that's kind of what it is. But I think that's kind of why people like Diana, because Diana was like a little bit rough.
She was rough. Well, no, I mean not rough, but I just mean like she was rough and real.
She was
Can I say that? She seemed loose.
She seemed Diana is royal. She was royalty before. She was like from the Duchess.
Oh, right. Yeah. But she was like her own thing. She was
she had a realness to her.
Yeah.
And I haven't, there's something about a realness with Kate too that's a little bit more like body. But at the same time, when you're coming in as a black woman or interracial woman, you probably have to be like Obama.
She is the Obama of princesses. Like she has to like be so squeaky clean, so like cut. She's also an actress, so you know she like nails down those lines.
So she's, I mean, I appreciate her. I like her, but I just want to see a little bit more, you know, what's her joy? What is she like, you know, what I don't know her. I don't get her. I don't know her.
But didn't you, do you think it's fair to say after one interview, like how many, like maybe it's just, you know, and also it's a very.
Yeah, no, I'll give it. I'm open to her.
Public sort of thing. Like when you got engaged, like they weren't like, all right, Aneka and Andrew, here's
but
the
if
camera,
you gave
tells
me,
your story.
But if you gave me you one interview, you would know who I am.
Yes. Well, we can't all have the charisma and charm that you have. So Meghan Markle, take note, because Aneka will show you how the interviews are.
I am the epitome of charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Ooh, she's coming after your crown. Aneka is snatching crowns here. I am excited because it's so funny. It's so interesting because it's like, here's the thing. You know what? This flipped me. Because I was, for the longest time, I would get into debates with some of my British friends. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your crown. I think it's stupid.
And now you're into it.
I think you're giving money to something that, like, why? Like, and I'm like, what does the queen do? They're like, oh, well, she, you know, every year gives, she has to allow for there to be a government every year, right?
Yeah.
And she Monarchy. She chooses to. Yeah. Like, she, mm-hmm. and she, but, like, it's sort of just like a staple. Like, I'm like, I don't really get what you do. You don't really have any power. If she didn't really agree with something, she can't really, it's not her, right. she doesn't really step in and say anything. She doesn't really do anything. And it just pay all this money for things. Yeah. And so I'm like, I don't get it. But now I am all about it.
Yeah, because it's basically the ultimate fucking the gossip celebrity shit at this point. Like, it's yeah. held over from people who used to actually run the country, but now they actually have a democracy. But right. they keep it because, one, it's these extremely wealthy people.
Yep.
And three, there's all of this drama that you get to follow and, like, be interested in. I mean,
it's their Kardashians, I guess. You know, it's their Angelina yeah. Jolie and Brad Pitt. Like, it's their right. celebrityism.
Right.
But, like, they have to pay in. But I guess my thing was, like, but you're giving all this money to it anyways yeah. I don't care,
but it's just it's their
now
history.
That hey black woman in it I am here now I'm interested it's
black, like, American woman too in the last
I
time
know that's why
divorced.
I didn't realize, right I didn't realize that at first I just kept seeing pictures of this, like, you know, POC looking woman. I didn't really know anything about Megan, but then I found out mm-hmm. it was just yesterday that she mm-hmm. was African-American. I was like, hold up, I'm here for yeah. this.
Got but my here's attention. Something that I kind of want to bring up. What? So I think she identifies as interracial or biracial. So I feel like sure. I kind of want to respect her in that instead of to. I mean, all of us, you know, black people, we're like, if you're black, you're black. But mm-hmm. If she, I kind of want to honor what she identifies as too. So I guess if she identifies as mixed race, then I'm gonna identify her as mixed race.
If a young black girl is looking up and she sees Meghan Markle, like, I don't know that mm-hmm. she. And what that means to her, I won't take that away from that young black girl. And, like, it just, like, I think it's such a, what an important time that it is that we're living in. Again, 2017, mm-hmm. I'm so glad to be alive in this time as opposed to any other time.
Right.
We've gotten to see this in our lifetime. Like, mm-hmm. that is so dope. Like, Obama and Meghan Markle. I mean, this is an amazing time to live in.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of an amazing time to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of amazing brown-skinned women.
Okay.
I was going to say black women, but I'm going to respect Megan, my girl, right now.
Okay.
You know who my doctor is?
Oh, I saw this post. You got a black doctor.
I got a black female lady doctor. You guys, I not only finally have health insurance, which I've had it for, I guess, about like a year, which I have not had health insurance since I got booted off my dad's plan way back when.
So and glad you got it now. Oh, my God, now James, you're now going to live.
Woo! I now, like, you're like, James, what did you do before? I hope, prayers, and vitamins, y'all.
Basically and gargled cayenne pepper and sent a kiss to the wind.
I literally was just looking up just natural remedies. I've cured all kinds of things. Strep throat,
and
I got
did
you.
It. You're
and
basically...
I'm Dr. Quinn.
You are a prairie-ass doctor just out there grinding up some herbs, blowing it into faces.
I am like old school, old lady midwife
yeah.
doing it. That's me. I went to the old lady midwife website, and they have all kinds of remedies. Leeches.
I wish. I'm just imagining you right now, like, you and I were out walking in a park. And I'm like, I got a little bit of a cough. And then you go, hold on. And you just, like, grab a leaf and you're like, chew on this for a little bit.
And then know what? You would feel better. I would say, chew on this leaf. I'm going to grind up some of these peppercorns.
Yeah.
Throw them in your face. And then you've got to put some honey underneath your earlobes.
I know.
And then hold this cockatoo for a second.
I'm like, where'd this come from?
cockatoo. There's a joke there.
So you
I'm not
got
gonna
this
touch
new
it,
doctor,
but that's what he
though.
Said. Yes, I. So and yeah, I feel like I finally became an adult officially. Like
yes.
I went in there and, like, yeah.
Nice.
I've got my doctor. I felt like I had walked onto the set of a Shonda Rhimes show for a second.
Ooh,
because
here
she was, like, my young black female doctor. It was
Get
amazing.
It. Mm, and all the snaps. It, all the snaps.
All the snaps. And it all became a part. And I guess we'll talk about this in another segment. But it all came apart. I had to get a primary care physician. addition, mainly, I'm going to divulge some personal information here to y'all. So,
okay. Secrets.
Yeah. Well, I was doing, so I've been a long proponent of not being on PrEP. So PrEP is the new, it's essentially Truvada, and it's helping to essentially prevent against HIV.
Wait, so I have a question. This,
yes.
Is Truvada, do they equal the same thing? Is that PrEP? Or is it two different versions of the same drug?
I have to look at my pamphlet.
Oh, there is a pamphlet that
my doctor gave me.
We are a pamphlet advocating show. Don't you sigh before you say that.
Okay, true. Because pamphlets are very important. And one of our corner kids did a pamphlet on it. And I'm actually going to do an episode later on that is talking about PrEP, because I think it is a very important thing to just discuss more in our community. We've not really talked about it at all.
Right.
But long story long, like, I was like, not necessarily that I was against PrEP, but I just didn't feel like I needed it for the longest time. Because one, I'm not that sexually active. And two, I'm busy. I don't have time.
That's true.
That's what porn is for. I am done and
you're
done.
You're just a self-service station.
I really am. Just fill her up. And we go on with our lives. I have to worry about, like, conversation or chatting or, like, awkwardly leaving or wishing that you would leave. It's just, I'm done.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, it's...
Save those interactions for those that matter.
Exactly. So my therapist was not really for it because he was a member of ACT UP and he was, like, you know, old school and da-da-da. So there's like, a lot of... It was new at the time. That's, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I then was part of a focus group because I wasn't doing it. I've been a part of this 3-month focus group. And I feel like it was just a trick to just trick me into it, because through the focus group, I kept learning more and more facts about it. In fact, there's only been, I think, one case of someone getting HIV while he was on PrEP.
Oh.
And a lot of people also use PrEP and condoms as well.
Fully
and I feel like if you are having sex out there, it's a good precaution. It's like the pill. Like, if you don't want to get pregnant, you know, take that pill as a precaution.
Exactly.
And it's just like an extra precaution. And so anyways, through that, I then... you know, got tested, HIV negative and all this sort of stuff. And then they were like, oh, are you interested in PrEP? And I also didn't know about it. I didn't know how to get it. I didn't have a primary care physician. I didn't know how much it was going to cost. I didn't know if my health insurance was going to cover it. So they kind of, like, New York is really dope. They kind of, like, I was at this clinic and they kind of led me through the process, and it was easy.
Oh, wow.
Easy, beautiful cover girl.
I love that. And making it easy for the citizens.
Now your boy is safe and rip-roaring and ready to go.
So let's do it. So is it like a pill that you take every day?
It's one pill a day. Mm. And at first, and like there's some side effects, but like for the first, like your body's getting used to it, might feel like a little nauseous or depressed, which I did.
Oh,
and
no.
It happened to be the weekend I was running the Avengers 10K.
Oh, shit. Well, you overcompensated because you surely didn't seem either of those.
Yeah. So, but anyways, long story long, it was this long road that led me to this doctor, and I feel like I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
I'm feeling solid.
This is like a perfect commercial for self-advocacy and also showing like how easy it is to kind of go through the process to figure out what you need to do to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people should take a page from your book and seek out their own fucking Grey's Anatomy doctor to help them out.
You were just, yes. Go get you a Grey's Anatomy doctor. Oh my God. Everybody who worked there at the place was actually, there was no white people there.
Oh.
It was very much a Shonda Rhimes show.
Yeah.
It's like things like I'm starting to fall in love with Harlem because it's just like black doing it.
A nice
that's
black history
say.
Too.
Black Latino doing it. So
love
that's
it.
What that is.
Wow.
So feeling good, feeling healthy.
Look at you. Hella so, protected out there.
But and also just a sidebar, and we'll talk about this when I really open up, like, is PrEP right for you when we do that episode? But like for those of you who still aren't PrEP, there's a rise in STIs because everyone's like, woo, I'm good to go. But like
still
you know,
not protecting
protect
themselves
against that.
Gonorrhea is still a thing, y'all. You guys need to
still a thing.
Guys
gonorrhea
and gals
and chlamydia are a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Like she's been around for a while.
These STDs are like great-great-grand...
STIs. Now. Mm-hmm.
They are... are you talking to grandma? What did you just say? We call them STIs now?
Well, I like how you stopped in the middle of your breakdown. You were like, wait, not gonna let that one go. And I was like, whew, okay, she took that one.
No, I did not. I know. I just use an old slang.
Okay, totally. Old slang. Back in my day, we called them STDs. The D was for dick.
Stop it. But STIs have been around way longer than anybody on this earth has been alive. So that means that you are not smart enough to outsmart it. So
damn, I didn't know that. Learn, laugh, and play. Linda Ellaby, take note. You missed out on this one.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, STIs have been, like, affecting, like, you know, like...
Sure.
Old people that were around hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So that's what I'm saying is, like...
Oh, yeah.
It's been around longer than anybody on Earth has been right now.
Yeah, and I was just trying to give you props because you just dropping on the facts and Linda Ellerby, again, she missed out on you. So, well, let's... Oh, it's like your audit... Oh, speaking of...
Yes.
Kids... And books and news. And that game, you got some news for us. It's like a Nick News special.
It is, but not. Christmas is like right around the corner. So I'm about to drop you guys some hints on what to get all of those kiddies so they can get prepared for understanding privilege.
Ooh, and these gifts will also be good for Kwanzaa as well, I would imagine.
Yes, holidays.
Some Zuwadi.
Let's go.
All right.
Talking about privilege.
And books.
It's a hot. Yeah.
I wanted to give you like a Nick News like intro. I don't remember what it was, but like Aneke News and books.
I think so. It sounds familiar. Yeah. I mean, you're close. I like that. Okay. I'll take it.
Well, take note, Linda Ellerby. I don't know why I'm coming after her today, but
I know. What does she even do? During a break, I gotta like.
I'll tell
really
you.
See
I'll
what's
tell
going
you.
On. Okay, so I have to give props to Corner Kid out there, Stephanie G. She sent me this list. It's from Books for Littles. And yes, I know, it's all another book list from Aneke. But I feel like this is super important because, one, like we said, Christmas, Kwanzaa, I think Hanukkah is over. We're in the middle of it. All these holidays, birthday holidays, all you got children, all you guys either got nephews, nieces, cousins, babies be everywhere. Babies and everybody's looking for a present. And everybody wants a book. You got to get some kids some books because when you read to kids at night, it has been proven that they turn into lifelong readers. Mm. So let's start them off early and well. And why not add a little bit of the resistance into this fight,
Absolutely, because we're still in it. Resist.
Exactly. So one of the biggest things that people have trouble talking about is privilege. It's uncomfortable. Everybody has a type of privilege that they benefit from that allows them certain perks that others don't get. So this is a list of books, children's books that helps little babies out there understand privilege, which is, and it's broken down by different types of privilege too, which I thought was like super good.
I like that.
Okay, so I'm gonna go through some of these basically, and I'm not gonna give book descriptions, I'm just gonna say some names, and in the show notes you can find this link, so if you want to go further into it and actually look into these
which
things.
I love that because it takes a village here, so it's like if you're like get involved in the research here, come and dig a little deeper.
Yeah, you could dig deeper if there's something that you think is interesting. Okay, so understanding your economic privilege. So it says here that I think we can all agree that poverty is bad. No child will be traumatized by the idea of not having a bike or donating a dinner to a family. So if you're new to this, let's start here. So economic privilege. These are books that will help kids understand economic privilege.
And can I have a question? So the book that who would receive this book is a kid who has economic privilege? Or is it the kid who's like doesn't have economic privilege and then he's like, oh, I can see what that is now?
I think that it goes either way. Okay. I think that that's a really good question because you can understand that one, that you either benefit from the privilege or that other people benefit from the privilege. And it's just understanding, it's giving children an awareness of the world that they're going to be growing up and entering into.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Like just because I'm not Hawaiian doesn't mean that I still didn't get something from reading what's her face in the dolphins, the blue dolphin book that everybody had to read. You know what I mean?
Yes. I guess I'm going to listen and my question will probably get answered as we go along here. But I totally understand what you're saying.
So understanding your economic privilege, the books here, one is called A Bike Like Sergio's and it shows a little picture of Sergio riding off on a cool looking bike with another kid looking sad at his bike.
Uh-oh, what's the story there?
So I'm guessing that Sergio has a pretty slick ass bike, and this other kid doesn't have enough money for that bike. Maddie's fridge, and it has two girls looking at each other being real cute about their fridge, and then a shelter in our car. So I can pretty much guess that a shelter in our car is living in the car, not having a home. So understanding that, I would say that it's good for either side, because one, if you are a kid who has a big, giant, wonderful home, and you're reading about this, you can see that it's just still normal people who just have less money than you who live in their car. But if you are a kid who happens to live in a car, you can see that it's okay and you are a normal kid.
Yeah.
But you just happen to be living in a car. So those books are good. Yeah. So a bike like Sergio, it says ages 3.5 and up. Maddie's fridge is 3+, and a shelter in our car is 4+. Those are ages.
I always found it so helpful to read those books about understanding like class early as a kid, because you kind of like understand gratitude and appreciation, and that's a lifelong thing, like gratitude and appreciation to grow into, that there's always something to be grateful for, and that people have like less. And I think like even in San Francisco, I think it's like 1 in 3 kids are living in poverty, you know?
Right. And even like, it's so good to understand this stuff. Also, I want to say that this can work brilliantly for when you go to, I remember this is a huge thing. You always go to school and there's that one kid that has that one hot new, the new hot ish or whatever that you're looking for. Read them one of these books and be like, look, you don't have to have a bike like Sergio's.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, and also like, I remember like sometimes like kids will find anything to tease. And see, this is why I feel like storytelling is so important. So I think what you're talking about, Aneka, is so important, because like these books create empathy, and kids are struggling with empathy because of all of our technology. They don't understand it because they're not connecting. So these books are so key and important, because they're going to be able to understand other people's journeys and stories, and they're less likely to be mean to someone who, if they understand their story or why they're different, right? So this is great.
So the next one is understanding your male privilege.
Ooh, yes. Learn them early.
So the first book on that is called Little Melba and Her Big Trombone. So it is by Catherine Russell Brown and illustrated by Frank Morrison. On the cover is this really cute black girl with these cutie pigtails playing a giant ass trombone. And basically the beginning of the description in Amazon says, Melba Doretta Linston loved the sound of her music from as far back as she could remember. As a child, she daydreamed about beats and lyrics and hummed along with the music from her family's majestic radio. So basically, she wants to play the trombone, and it's about being accepted as a legit trombone player, even though she's a girl.
Interesting, yeah.
So that one's cute, real jazzy kind of thing. The next one is called Teeny Tiny Toadie.
What is his deal? What is going on with Teeny Tiny Toadie?
The cover is like this cute. It's by Jill Esbaum, and the illustrator is Keika Yamaguchi. And on the cover, there's this teeny tiny toad. It's so cute.
Oh, it's like actually a teeny tiny toad, adorbs.
Yeah. This one is all about basically like how they kind of shut her out because she's a girl, but actually she can get shit done.
Yep.
So that one's super cute. Teeny tiny toadie. Next on the list. Understanding white privilege. Okay, why do you say that?
I said the wrong response. I meant, let's do it. I knew I wanted a response and the wrong one came out.
So what I like about this book, or this list,
I thought that was the name of the book. I was like, whoa.
Oh, no, that's just the
just
section
coming right out
of
the gate.
Is white,
listen
is the
up, kids.
Part. So this is,
okay.
No. Is they have three different races here representing that. Because clearly, if you're understanding white privilege, you've got to get a perspective of someone who's non-white. And normally, people will just reach for someone who's black, like a black book, right? So there's one here that's Freedom Summer, which has a black kid on the cover. But let's switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And the first one I'm going to describe is called Fish for Jimmy. It's by Katie...
Me.
not really. Katie Whoa. Yamasaki.
Can't I be an imaginative child?
Well, let me read the description.
Oh, okay, never mind.
For two boys in a Japanese-American family. Everything changed when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor.
Fair enough.
And the United States went to war. With the family forced to leave their home and go to an internment camp, Jimmy loses his appetite. Older brothers Taro takes matters into his own hands night after night, and sneaking out of camp and catches fresh fish for Jimmy to help make him strong again.
Can I tell you all the things that I love about this? And you're right, I can't play Jimmy because I am not... Well, I won't say this. I'm not a white actor from Hollywood, so I would not dare.
No,
I would
burn.
Not dare. I'm not.
Burn.
I'm not Runa Mari, so I wouldn't Mara or whatever. Or I'm not Scarlett Johansson, so I wouldn't dare. I'm not Matt Damon. I wouldn't dare. but
see, I was saving you from that. I tried to stop you.
Thank you. You are always got my back. What I love about that is, like, because I think this is one of the stories that we don't tell enough about. Again, if we if you don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. And it's like, and like, what's the age on this one? Is it like
this one is four?
Four and up. So
ages four.
Could you imagine at 5 years old, like, you, along with learning about like Martin Luther King, you also learned about Japanese internment camps of like
exactly.
It wouldn't make you like fucked up about the world. It just makes you more informed, and then it'll make you more appreciative to how far that we've come. And like, oh, we don't have that. Oh, I'm so grateful we don't have that. I'm gonna be nicer to other people.
Exactly. Done. So that's fish for Jimmy. Loving Buy it because that was. I mean, come on, duh.
Yeah.
Next on the list is Lila and the Crow by Gabriel Grimard. So it basically says, Lila has just moved to a new town and can't wait to make friends at school. But on the first day, a boy points at her and shouts, a crow, the new girl's hair is black like a crow. The others whisper and laugh, and Lila's heart grows as heavy as a stone. Mm. So Lila on the cover looks, I am guessing she looks Asian on the cover of the book. She could be a Latina. But she's definitely not white or black. So clearly it's talking about, so internment camp is how people were removed from society. And this is someone trying to integrate into a white community.
Right, yeah.
And talking about the privileges when you can meld in and when you can't meld in, you know? So that is Lila and the Crow by Gabrielle Grimard.
Man, this makes me want to go back to teaching so I can just read kids' books.
I know, right? Okay, so here is another privilege that they tackle. Understanding non-disabled privilege.
Yeah, this is important. This is an important one.
We have, first up is A Boy and a Jaguar. A Boy and a Jaguar is by Alan Rabinovich. And illustrated by Katia Chien. So, A Boy and a Jaguar. Alan loves animals, but the great cat house at the Bronx Zoo makes him sad. Why are they all alone in empty cages? Are they being punished? More than anything, he wants to be their champion, their voice, but he stutters uncontrollably, except when he talks to animals. So this is about a kid with a stutter.
Yeah.
And really sweet. The cover is super sweet. This little tiny boy, like, looking at a friendly looking jaguar, looks really cool illustrated. So that's awesome. So the next one is for little babies. This one is for ages 1.5 and up.
Ooh, okay. I mean, read them early. It gets in their head.
Yeah.
I feel like my first memories weren't until I was four, but. You're absorbing it somehow, some way.
You're getting it, so might as well get it in there. It's called The Red Lemon. It's Nature and Our Environment by Bob Stocke. Farmer McPhee isn't ready for what he's about to discover among his cherished bright yellow fruits. A red lemon. This one was put in the list as being about environment and nature, but it also seems like it might be about how, you know, one is different than the other.
Yeah.
But probably just as good.
Right. Yeah. That's at first I was like, how a baby gonna understand that? You know what? Babies understand fruits
and
colors. They can't understand the complexities of Sergio and his bike, but fruits and lemons, they'll get that.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm going to read one more from this list because I think it's interesting that we don't talk about non-disabled privilege as much as we should.
Mm. When you say non-disabled, is that...
Able-bodied.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Able privilege.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
Or I guess they say non-disabled because you can be able-bodied and also disabled too.
Cool.
Like you can... You know what I mean?
Yeah, my head is trying to... because I know there's a new term for it, and I just don't... And I know that's what the new term is. My head is just trying to make that work in my brain, you know? Because I've heard it as one... Growing up, it was disabled for so long, and I know that's not the correct term. So hearing this, I'm just, like, trying to process that. But, yeah.
Oh, disabled is not the right term anymore?
I don't think so, right? Or is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Or I don't know.
Well, it's called... This on the list here, it says non-disabled.
As an able-bodied privilege.
Right. Okay. But I think the reason that they aren't saying able-bodied is because, like, for instance, a stutter. You can be able-bodied and have a stutter.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know what
I mean? Yes. Yeah. Semantics. My brain is like, boop.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
It's great. I'm learning.
No, it's good. I'm glad that you're breaking it down because somebody listening out there is probably having the same thought.
Their head's like exploding too. I'm with you.
So here's the third one that I want to bring up that I thought was really good. It's called The Girl Who Thought in Pictures, The Story of Dr. Temple Grandin. People, I don't know if you know, there's a movie. So there is a great scientist out there, Dr. Temple Grandin. I'm trying to remember what she did. I know she worked with cows.
Oh.
She's real woman.
Oh.
And she's still alive. Horses are horses, I think.
Okay.
She dresses in cowboy gear, kind of cool like that.
Cute.
But she is autistic.
Oh.
And she's done amazing things. You guys teach me. I also know that there was a movie written about her that Claire Danes starred as.
What?
Her.
But she cried a lot.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
she likes.
Yeah, she does she cry. I don't think she cried that much in this one because
like this woman was like, I got this. I'm not crying.
Yeah, kind of.
This ain't Homeland.
Yeah, and I think she took her with her to the awards ceremony.
What? That's amazing. And also, way to change it up, Claire Danes, and not cry in every piece that you do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's versatility.
So good. So not only does this book fucking kill... It kills two birds with one stone because one... Actually, three.
Oh, what?
Because we have women in science.
Okay.
And then just science, period.
Okay, yeah, there it is. Bang, two.
And autism.
There it is.
And how to be successful with all of that. So it's called The Girl Who Thought in Pictures, and it's by Julia Finley Mosca.
Mm.
And it's illustrated by Daniel Ridley.
Mm.
Ridley. Okay, so we got the next one, which is understanding your heteronormative privilege. So the first one, understanding your heteronormative privilege, meaning you basically can blend into a heteronormative circumstances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cisgendered, straight relationships, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Okay. So the first book is called Morris Minkelwhite and the Tangerine Dress.
Okay, hope he's better than that other Morris.
Who, Morris Chestnut?
Yes, as he was in that movie When the Bell Breaks, and he was messing it up. So
Morris messed it up.
I have a little bias against that name.
I think you'll like Morris Minkelwhite in the Tangerine Dress. Okay. It's by Christine Baldacchino. And illustrated by Isabel Malfant. So Morris is a little boy who loves using his imagination, but most of all, Morris loves wearing the tangerine dress in his classroom's dress-up center.
Mm-hmm.
The children in Morris' class don't understand. Mm-hmm. So this is basically about if your kids sometimes like to wear whatever the fuck they want to wear, and that's fine.
Yep.
Adults like to wear whatever the fuck they want to wear, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And that's that. And so this is great to learn early.
Because
again, what people don't, anytime like people fear something or it's something different, and kids look to adults and how to react and to respond to things. And when we just like read a book and you're like, hey, it's really cool. Like, it's awesome. Let them just live their best life. And that's what kids learn.
Exactly. Yep.
It's not a big deal. It is literally just a, like, isn't that so silly that people get up in arms about what people want to wear? Isn't that ridiculous? Like,
it's like, who cares?
You should go spend your, go write a book or go solve cancer.
Right.
Like, you could be doing.
The only reason we wear clothes is because we're not covered in hair.
Yeah. So let me cover that whenever I want and go do something else with your life. Go make a pie. Go do something else.
Yeah.
Do something with your life. And let me rock this tangerine dress.
Exactly. Okay, so here is Introducing Teddy, a gentle story about gender and friendship by Jess Walton and Dougal McPherson.
Mm, I've heard of Dougal McPherson.
Oh, nice. Erilyn is Teddy Thomas, our best friends, who do everything together. One sunny day, Errol finds that Thomas is sad, even when they are playing in their favorite ways. Errol can't figure out why until Thomas finally tells Errol, "In my heart, I've always known that I'm a girl, Teddy, not a boy, Teddy. I wish my name was Tilly, not Thomas." Mm. And Errol says, "I don't care if you're a girl, Teddy, or a boy, Teddy. What matters is that you are my friend."
Oh, that makes sense.
So sweet. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
So I think that one, yeah, that one is pretty matter of fact. I don't have to explain why that one is important for children.
I'm confused. No, I get it. That one's really straightforward. I get it.
Okay, so I'm going to do one more because this is going on a little long, but I want everybody to check out this link that's in the show notes, because not only does it cover all the things that I've mentioned before, it also covers religious persecution privilege.
Ooh, good call.
Color colonist privilege, local born citizenship privilege, and language and cultural fluency privilege.
I mean, if you're a school teacher, here's your curriculum, the story time. Exactly. And we got a book for every week of story time.
Yeah. So as the last one, just to follow up, I'm going to do, this one is called Understanding Your Body Size Privilege, which is also, I think it's important.
Yeah.
So the first one is called Abigail the Whale. It's by David Catley and illustrated by Sonia Bugavea. Abigail dreads swimming lessons. Abigail can see that she is larger than the other girls. She feels huge, heavy, and out of place. Now, this one is perfect, as you were saying at the start of this segment, that we need to have this shit read to both sides of the table, because kids are fucking mean.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where a lot of stuff stems. Like, I still get tripped up over things that I was called 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could curb this, this would be wonderful. And I would say one of the first and foremost things that kids will pick on you for is what you look like.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So this is good. Get Abigail the Whale. Yep. Read it to all your skinny children so they aren't dicks.
Sorry. Yeah, I agree. We're just going to neck it in the classroom. It's just going to be like, listen up, skinny kids. Get over here and read about this book so y'all can stop being dicks. What's a dick? That's our book for next week.
That's a time for another tale. But just know. So look at the show notes, check out this list, and get your kids ready for the world.
Awesome. Y'all know what to do. Get them books. We are going back to our Nick Jr. roots today.
Okay.
We are going to learn, laugh, and play. And we're going to take a trip to the gay zoo with
that
guy.
Oh, okay. Now, today, what do you mean by that?
Well, today, I just call me your Ms. Gay Izzle.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Same-sex pairings and homosexual activities not only happening in human beings, which your auntie or uncle thinks is, like, you know, going to be the thing that bring you to hell, and they think it's unnatural. Actually, it is actually very natural, as it is something that's happening in the animal kingdom.
In nature.
In nature. And it's happening, and it's been noted, suggested studies, about 1,500 different animal species are known to practice same-sex coupling. So from insects to fish to birds and mammals. So we're going to go through this zoo. Imagine that we're just looking at all these different little animals here.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at what some of their practices and some of their behaviors are in this gay-ass animal kingdom.
Wow. Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yeah. And also, just sidebar, when we're talking about this, like, and I'm talking about these different animals, I am not meaning like different gay subcultures. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not meaning like pandas or otters or bears. Like,
oh,
I mean,
I'm
like,
glad
actual...
you said bears, because I was, you like picked the most obscure animals out there. So I was very confused. So they're not people. Yeah.
No, I mean like the animals.
Yes.
Like the actual real ass gay ass animals. So on our first stop, we're going to go to the one that I knew first and the only one that I knew. I wasn't sure. I heard rumors about other gay animals, but the first ones that we, I think we all know about are penguins, penguinos. Yes, penguins.
Okay, yes.
Well, I was saying it in Spanish too. I'm being a little Dora. I'm being a little Dora the Explorer.
Oh, okay.
So penguins, they tend to adopt. So they'll like, they'll be gay parents and they'll co-parent and they'll adopt little baby chicks.
That's cute.
And there's a story that maybe some of you guys have all heard from the Central Park Zoo. There's Roy and Solo. Mm. And they had this long-term affair, and they, for about 6 years they were together. They adopted this little chick. And until Silo, after 6 years, he left Roy.
He left?
This new, yeah, he left. There was this new female named Scrappy. And he left
terrible name.
Roy for Scrappy. Yeah.
Oh my
they
God.
Were getting real creative
Poor
on that one.
Roy.
But Roy was okay because he then just joined this group of male penguins.
Okay.
And he
All
was
right.
okay in the end.
Okay. All right. Still looking at Silo side-eyed, though. He left a family.
Well, yeah, he did. You know? But, you know, but Roy's okay.
Okay.
And in Denmark, there was a pair of male king penguins who became daddies to this adopted chick
Cute.
After this female had abandoned her egg.
Oh,
so,
that's...
I mean... You know what? Motherhood's not for everybody, Aneke.
It is
Motherhood
not.
Is not for everybody. She was like, I'm out. I can't do this. I'm out. So it's like, even in the animal kingdom, like what we think, like the same things that we as humans do naturally occur in the animal kingdom as well.
Mm.
Okay. Next, I want to go and let's take a look at these long ass sexy giraffes.
Oh.
Look at their long ass necks. Aren't they sexy? Look at that.
No.
Long ass
I mean, they
necks.
Do have long eyelashes, but like.
I mean, not going to yuck someone's yum. So among giraffes, there is more same sex than opposite sex activity in the giraffe community.
Huh.
How much same sex?
Yeah, like how much is that?
We're talking about 90% of all observed sexual activity in giraffes is gay sex.
That is a lot.
Yeah. So giraffes are hella gay. And the giraffes don't get straight to business, okay?
Uh-huh.
Giraffes, they know how to flirt. They like to use those little eyelashes you were talking about.
Yeah.
They use their long necks and they start... They use it to neck with each other. They'll do some necking.
Ooh.
They rub those up and down onto each other.
Wow.
And it's like we're literally like watching Gay Discovery Zone channel right now. And they'll gently rub their necks. And this will last for hours. So this is their foreplay. It'll last for hours.
Oh my God.
Take note, gays. Foreplay for hours. Necking. And their behavior, sometimes it can might like look a little aggressive.
Yeah, scary.
But it's just them flirting. It's just them having, you know, trying to get some foreplay on. And how do you know when a giraffe is ready?
How?
He'll curl his lips. Ew. And that means he's ready to receive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And in some instances, groups of 4 to 5 males will neck and mount one another. So
that's a lot.
Just a big old giraffe gangbang.
Oh my God.
So watch out when you're at the zoo.
Just too many limbs. Too many freaking limbs happening with that one.
Okay. Next, let's go under the sea to the dolphins.
Okay. What's going on with dolphins?
Well, dolphins, both female and male bottlenose dolphins display homosexual behavior, including oral action.
What? They got those tiny little teeth.
Well, they'll make it work because one dolphin will stimulate the other with its snout. Yeah.
What?
So in the bottlenose world, homosexual activity occurs with about the same frequency as heterosexual play. So it looks like a lot of dolphins are bisexual.
Yeah.
Male bottlenose dolphins specifically are generally bisexual, and they go through periods of being exclusively homosexual. Sometimes they're just like, I'm only doing the dudes for right now.
This is interesting.
And apparently their relationships are really intense.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what the notes are.
They just wrote and they hyperlinked it to another article, which I did not get to read that one. But apparently, super intense dolphin gay relationships.
Wow. Whatever.
And
I don't even know.
what does that even mean, right? Like, they're emotionally intense. Like, I don't, like, their sonar, they can, like, hear all these things happening or thoughts. I don't know.
Is it just a lot of conversation? Like, what is making it intense?
Well, apparently, males will form pairs, trios, or even larger groups and mount one another frequently.
Wow.
So a lot of just gangbangs just happen a lot in the animal kingdom. So both male and female dolphins will often fool around with the same sex before going on to mate with those of the opposite sex. So it's like college. It's just like, you know, talents. Yeah. All right, let's go to the mighty Sierra and let's go visit the lions.
Mm.
So homosexuality is common among lions as well.
So
2 to 4 males will often form what is known as a coalition, where they will work together to court female lions.
Okay.
So courting. So it doesn't sound as like, at first I was like, that sounds a little rapey, but courting. So that's, you know,
I mean, if they're courting, then.
Like if they're all like wooing her together in a very
just
sweet,
one
romantic
or
way.
Like a group of women too.
That's a good question. I don't know. We'll have to ask National Geographic.
Because if it's two groups going after two groups, that just sounds like a mixer. But if it's a group going after one, that sounds like some mace.
A lion mixer. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is it's just like one girl and there's like four guys and you're all courting her. That seems a little much.
Yeah.
So they depend on each other to fend off other coalitions. So apparently coalitions are very prominent amongst the lion community. Mm. And to ensure loyalty, male lions strengthen their bonds by having sex with each other.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's just a way of like, dude, we are in this coalition together. We're going to fuck each other.
That is an extreme trust fall.
So many researchers in this behavior, it's kind of like your classical like bromance.
Yeah. But with sex. So it's romance.
It's just sex. Like, the sex is just sex. It's just sort of, I'm gonna, like, form a bond of, like, trust. It's a trust exercise.
This is too much.
So it's not so, like, romantic. It's more like boys will be boys, you know?
Wow.
And some male lions, but there's different degrees, because some male lions will form bonds that will last for several days, and then that's, like, it. So,
So it's short?
Yeah. They're just like, okay, I'm good. About 8% of observed copulations in male lions are homosexual. And, like, whose job was that to observe that?
Yeah, like, who's just out there, like, taking notes?
I love science sometimes because, like, humans love watching other things do it.
Oh,
like,
they love it.
It
seems like it's like coming across a four-leaf clover when you see like animals doing it out in the wild. So I mean, I guess I kind of get it.
You're just like, whoa, what is this? The Jane Goodalls of the world are just, you know, I got to take notes.
Yeah.
Lionesses are getting down too. So lionesses have been observed engaging in homosexual activity when in captivity. So they are usually, the interested female will position herself underneath the other female to encourage her to mount. And then once the mounting is happening, the female who is doing the mounting, the top, if you will, she performs the same sort of behaviors as the male lion would, just growling and biting the neck.
Is that like a dominance thing though, or is it like a sexual
thing? It's like, I think they're like, fuck, I'm horny, what are you doing, let's like, you know, touch each other. So I'm wondering if this will make it into the updated version of the Lion King.
Stop it.
If it's not, you know it's on the cutting room floor. And can we maybe stop side-eyeing Scar so much?
Exactly.
Because maybe he wasn't he was just doing what he was needing to do.
Yes.
His natural urges.
Exactly.
He was trying to form a coalition. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Redemption for
Scar. I want to start going up and be like, I'm trying to form a coalition. Amongst like, when there's like three guys I'm into, I'm like, let's form a coalition. All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what did the hyenas chase? Was it the bison?
I think so, probably. Yeah.
Well, that's what's up next. So let's talk about them.
Bisons or hyenas?
Oh, bisons.
Okay.
So bisons, homosexual activity between male bisons is more common than heterosexual copulation.
This is just, I don't even imagine bison having, they just seem like giant lumps with horns on them.
Hey, they like to get their gay sex on too. So, it makes up homosexual mountings make up about 55% in the semi-wild populations.
What?
And do you want to know why?
Yeah, why?
Because female bisons only mate with the bulls about once a year. So they're like, I'm good.
Yeah, I know.
I got a headache.
Can you imagine?
She's like, and these bison got to get off bison, somehow.
They're gigantic. I seriously just thought they just poofed into existence because it doesn't. No. They seem like giant boulders on tiny little legs. So I don't understand how they even do it, but
they do it. And the ladies are only doing it once a year. They're like, I am good. Go figure it out. Your buddy's over there. So during mating season, when males, they get these gay urges, they engage in the same sex activities several times a day.
Several times a day?
Bisons can't get enough dick.
That is way too much information about a bison.
Apparently, more than 50% of the mountings are of young bison. So it's very Greek. It's very Greek. Mm. And these sessions can last twice as long as the heterosexual ones. Mm. So there's that.
Wow.
Bison.
So looking at you different.
Neke's side-eyeing bison.
I'm not side-eyeing. It's just like, it's a whole new world.
She learned a lot
about
bison.
It's a whole new world
today.
Of bison.
What are these macaques? Macaques?
That's a monkey, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is it. Mm-hmm. So macaques, both female and male macaques like to get down.
Okay.
So they both like to engage in the same sex activity. Mm. But while males usually only will do it for a one night stand, they're just like, I'm good, that was fine, I'm out.
Yeah.
Females will form very intense bonds with each other and they'll usually become monogamous after that.
Wow. So they're
very, you know, lesbian, you, Holly, and they're just in it for life.
Look at you, throwing shade at these monkeys just trying to live their life.
That is not me throwing shade. That is me, like, being like, go ahead. Okay. Like, that's me being jealous. I am looking for my U-Haul. I'm ready. In some macaque populations, the homosexual behavior among females is not only common, but it's the norm, just like the thing to do.
Okay.
And when not mating, these females stay very close together. They'll sleep together, groom with each other, defend each other from outside enemies. So it's kind of like a sorority or like Thermoskea. What's that? The land with the Amazons.
Yeah, Amazons. Mm-hmm.
It's I was thinking from my... Wonder Woman.
I thought they're the...
Themyscira.
Oh, okay.
But the name of their... They're the women of Themyscira.
Yeah. That's what it is.
I work at Marvel, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. let's talk... Do you want to talk about some other monkeys? So the bonobos, right?
Well,
let's kick it up a notch.
The bonobos are freaks. We all know this.
Oh, they are. And they are considered... And it's considered our closest living relative to humans. And like... So let's look at their sexy behavior and see what's going on over us too. So like us, they are known for seeking sexual pleasure.
Yes.
And they copulate frequently.
Yes.
Including same sex.
Yeah.
They do this for pleasure. And they're also as a way to bond with each other as well. So it's like a trust exercise.
Yeah, very much. And don't they like resolve arguments by just having sex too?
Oh, yeah, that is like their thing. That is like, we could learn a thing or two from our cousins, a lot less war, and be like, you know what, let's just fuck this out. You know what? I'm sorry, let's just fuck, okay? Agree to fuck to disagree.
Just work out the catchphrase.
It's there. Fuck to agree. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck to disagree. So it has been found that females, they engage in these sexual acts, these homosexual monkey business.
Yeah.
Oh, and they do this to move up on the social totem pole.
Oh, social climbers.
Work it out, ladies. And about 2/3 of the homosexual activities happen among females. But males also like to, you know, roll around in the grass with each other too.
Yeah.
They too. Swans. Let's talk about the swans.
Okay.
So like many birds, swans are monogamous and they stick with one partner for years. They like to lock it down.
Yeah, they do.
So many of them will actually choose a same sex partner, and in around 20% of swan couples are homosexuals.
They
often like to start families together.
Aww.
And sometimes one swan and a male couple will mate with the female and then drive her away once she's laid the eggs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right, thank you. You're out of here.
That's rude.
Yeah.
That's rude.
Oh, man. All right, we got our babies. Thank you.
That is so rude. Scary ass goose driving away another one. She's just trying to have her baby and you steal it from her.
And they probably like... Well, I mean, I'd like to think there was an agreement, or she knew what the deal was.
Why you had to chase her away then?
I know. All right.
This is turning into one of the weirdest corners that we have.
I'm hoping that this will launch my new Discovery Channel show, Gaze in the Wild, or something, you know? Yeah.
You might have a pitch.
Okay, warthogs. Let's go to warthogs.
The most beautiful of animals.
So apparently, biologists have observed female warthogs forming long-term pairs. So there's a lot of, like, lesbian warthogs out there.
Oh, wow.
And so the females will mount or ride each other or rest their head on the rear of their partner while they're in heat. So they're just like, they're very caring. And the female warthogs will create these families where they're bonded with each other and they'll raise their offsprings together. They'll suckle each other's young.
Oh.
And if one of the females falls sick and naked, it's nature.
Man, I mean, I did the worst thing possible, which was Google warthogs while you're... I know I don't want to discriminate.
Let these ladies get their lady left on.
But these animals are wild looking. If you haven't seen what a warthog looked like recently, I suggest you go look at them. Because on top of it, they have weird long hair, too, that, like, is tossed around.
Oh, they do. They whip their hair back and forth. Willow Smith is alive, and then they got the Beyonce weaves going on. They got the hair. They got the good hair. So.
They are a mess. This is a mess of an animal.
You should have never done that.
I know.
Okay. Now I'm imagining all this hair. So, elephants.
Okay.
Male-on-male mounting is common in both African and Asiatic elephants.
Wow.
It's a common thing.
Okay.
So males will often show signs of affection, such as rubbing and caressing one another before copulating, so getting that foreplay going. Mm-hmm. They'll also touch mouths, so elephants be kissing, right? They just love a little kiss.
That's cute.
And they'll place, isn't that cute,
yeah,
little
cute.
Elephant kiss?
It's cute.
And they'll place their trunks in each other's mouths. Whoa.
Okay, that's a little, that's...
Whoa, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that note. And they'll then intertwine their trunks. They're freaky. Elephants are freaks. Oh, it gets even freakier. Wait till you hear about where else they put those trunks. So the one male will, like, run his trunk alongside the back tail side of the other male, and that means, all right, give me that ass, Dumbo.
Stop
Let me
it.
Up
I
in
can't
here.
Handle this corner.
And that's when the mounting is going to begin. I told you I was going to take you on a ride today.
Oh, my God.
So the copulations between the males last about the same time as with the females. So, like, it's about the same.
Oh.
And then for the lesbian elephants, for the homosexual encounters with the female elephants, it has been observed in captivity. So the female will use her trunk to stimulate another female's clitoris.
Whoa.
And
this has been observed in captivity?
Like, who is watching this?
I know.
Taking notes. It gets even... Okay. And the clitoris is an impressive 17 inches when fully erect.
Whoa.
So... Yeah.
God.
Big. And if you think that's impressive, speaking of impressive clitorises,
oh my God.
The spotted hyena.
Ew. Oh, yeah. They got big old clits.
It is about 90% of the length of a hyena male member's penis.
Yeah.
And with the same diameter. So it's like usually like 7 inches long and about a 1 inch diameter is their, like, clitoris.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, though.
Oh, is it also, well... I think I have it right here.
Okay, yeah.
It'll become erect, and the female... Well, sometimes the female will use it to like, rub up against her other lesbian lover. So she can use that clitoris to do her lesbian thing as well.
Yeah. And also to and, be, like, kind of like a... They're very women-led, so it's kind of like a dominance thing, too.
Yeah. Well, and through their clitoris, it can become like, well, they urinate and they give birth through it. So, in fact, apparently this is what
they
causes
don't give birth
so much
through their clitoris.
Oh, that's what these notes say. That's what they said. And this is what caused about 9% of hyenas to die during their first labor.
Oh, wow. How many percent again?
9%.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah.
This is a lot. This is...
So there you have it. I hope you enjoy your whirlwind trip through the gay zoo. But in all seriousness, I wanted to do this because, you know, as the holidays are coming around and some of us are still going back to those families who just, for whatever reason, think what it is that we are is so unnatural. And here's the thing. Why aren't they teaching you? Have you heard any of this before?
No, I mean, like maybe 2% of what you said.
I don't understand this. Why this is not taught in science class.
Exactly.
Because here's the thing. You teach this, and this is nature. You teach this science class. Boom. End of homophobia right there. That's it. We're done. We're done with it. We can move on. End of teasing kids who are gay because you learn that it's this natural thing.
Right.
And that sexual, and even just like, and also the behaviors of animals, that sexuality is way more fluid than we think.
Right.
And I think we have to continue to shake the shackles of our puritanical beliefs that are still holding us back and repressing us because, you know, it's actually, in some ways, I would say it's unnatural to repress your natural sexual urges. That's what's unnatural.
Yeah, that's the unnatural thing. We need to definitely celebrate who each and all of us are, because if you look in nature, it's mirrored right back to us. So why are we preventing this from happening? I think that
absolutely.
This is an excellent way. I mean, maybe don't talk about how an elephant stimulates another elephant's clit with its trunk at your dinner table.
Kids gotta learn. Kids gotta learn. Listen, what gets an elephant off? Who am I to judge?
No, we're not here to judge. But that might be a 0-60 moment. But definitely talking about how that this occurs in the wild with examples is a perfect way to softly introduce that it's just who we are.
Absolutely. And now I can know that, like, I can be a swan if I want to.
Yes, but nobody wants to be a warthog. I definitely suggest look up a warthog. No offense to warthogs. I love you, warthogs. You're great. But
I wish I had been armed with this when, you know, over a decade ago, and I was caught in a very precarious gay situation by my dad, and I knew that there were gay penguins, but I didn't know enough information to back it up with, and I wish that I had had this information beforehand to be able to point it out to you. So, all my gays out there, all my gays, my lesbians, my queers, my everything out there underneath the rainbow, you are natural and you are beautiful. So go out there and go have you some animal sex.
Oh, yes. It's the end of the show.
Well, Aneke, we have some announcements at the end of the show. We have another winner for our contest.
We did not hear from the previous winner of last week, and you know what? That's fine. But this week,
that's okay.
We got a new one.
Yes. We got a new one. We drew these at random, and the winner, which is from Greenwick Press, who wrote us 5 stars, a source of info and inspiration. Ooh. Aneke and James don't know everything, but they're always learning and sharing with the rest
of
us. Minority Corner is a fun podcast with good info, humor, and, well, it's hard to describe exactly. Give an episode a try, and you'll see what I mean. Minority Corner also has a fun, awesome Facebook community. Not a huge fan of Facebook, but I stick around for groups like this. So that's y'all getting that shout out. Yeah. So you are the winner. You are winning a copy of Raising Dion and The Purposeful Millionaire by James Nolan. So email minoritycorner@gmail.com and we will ask you some questions to verify your identity and get your shipping address and send you a package.
Yes, and it's Minority Corner, Corner spelled with a K at Gmail.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're also going to get something from our Minority Corner store.
We got a Minority Corner store.
Yeah, we are getting a store because we know y'all want some Minority Corner swag. So we've got a Minority Corner t-shirt that we've got there and a hoodie because it's cold and winter is coming.
And it looks so cute. It has like our little Minority Corner writing style on the front and on the back. It has our saying. So just like check it out, look at it, get it, represent your favorite podcast. I'm definitely going to be rocking one because I love that shit so much.
Ooh, I want one right now.
So
I love it.
So where can they
hoodie.
Get this
it's
from?
Cute. We will put the link in the show notes, and it will be a link on our Facebook page and in the Minority Corner Kids Facebook group.
Yay! So make sure to check it out. James, you got something coming out right now.
Well, we have something. We, a Minority Corner, we produced our first video series called Minority Corner's Guide to a Gay Bar Straight Guy Edition. Yes. And we are launching tip number 2 this week. So find it, share it. We're really trying to get the word out about this video. It is so hard to get a viral video going on. It is.
You know
a
what?
Challenge.
I think people who saw the first one will definitely be ready for another helping. So. Let's get share that out and then point them back to the number 1. So it will just be awesome and amazing. So look out for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I am performing with my comedy group Nice Tan.
And how can people come see the show?
It's at San Francisco Sketch Fest, which is like a big sketch comedy festival that happens in San Francisco every year. My show is on January 26th at Piano Fight. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. Yeah. There will be a link in the show notes as well as all over Facebook. Tickets are $15. So I'm sure if you just go on Eventbrite and look up Nice Tan or SF Sketch Show, you'll be able to find the tickets. Come if you're in the area. It'll be fun.
Yeah, go see these very, very funny
and guys.
I wish I could. Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
we have new people. Wow. So it's guys and gals.
What? Well, go see these funny ass people. Go see them. Go get your funny on. And that's the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. I also want to say, I haven't said this in a while, but thank you to all of our donors.
Thank you.
You who have donated. The Max Fun Drive will come up again. Thank you so much for supporting us and helping us do what it is that we do. We really, really do appreciate you. We love each and every one of your listeners. There's like 500,000 podcasts out there in the world, and you
pick us.
Listen to us. Like, so appreciate that. So if you like this episode, share it out. You can take a picture of it and Instagram it or tweet it out and let people know about these books and these gay ass animals in the wild kingdom. And Meghan Markle.
Yeah, we're supporting you, Meghan Markle. Come on, show us some comedy fun.
We don't have a feud. We don't have a feud with you.
Yes, you wait. All right, bye, everybody.
See you next week.
Max FunCon tickets are on sale now at maxfuncon.com. Watch stand-up comedy on a mountain. Roll out of bed after a dance party to see a live podcast taping. Take classes from amazing teachers with the most supportive group of people you'll ever meet. Make a bunch of friends and eat a ton of s'mores. Come to Max FunCon at Lake Arrowhead, California, the second weekend of June for friendship, comedy, and creativity. Get your ticket now at maxfuncon.com.
Hey Biz, have you seen any good movies lately?
Hey Teresa, does Curious George's Boo Fest count?
It doesn't.
Well, I blame my current life situation that has small children that need things. God, I love them, and I miss knowing about stuff.
Well, after catching up on the current cultural offerings on podcasts that provide such information, join us on One Bad Mother as we help explore the harsh realities of sweeping self-identity changes as we try to find ourselves between our pre- and post-kid selves.
I used to like all the things. Download One Bad Mother on MaximumFun.org or Apple Podcasts. And yes, there will be swears.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.